Welcome back to Moms After Bedtime. I'm Megan, and I'm here with Mandy, Brooke, and a very special guest, Taylor.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
So today we have Taylor on to talk about her birth story. It's a pretty crazy one, so we're very excited to have her on here. She's also one of our very best friends and a mama of three, so we're excited for her to tell her story and to have her chatting with us. Is that what?
She also requested a drum roll.
Wait, yeah. Didn't live up to it.
Taylor! So before we get into that, let's start with our wine and cheese. Taylor, do you want to go first since you're the guest of honor?
Sure. So my wine is, this past weekend has been my second week back at work. So I'm still working on adjusting to the baby at home. I work 13-hour shifts, and I'm breastfeeding, so maybe the Moms of Bedtime community can kind of help me. I'm trying to figure out a good schedule to pump at work, and I'm having a hard time fitting it into my work day.
How long is a shift for you?
I'm gone for about 14 hours with commute time.
That's a long time.
My coworkers are super nice about knowing I have to take the time to pump, but I only have about a day worth of milk. So what I'm pumping that day is literally for my next shift. That's been kind of my wine. Just working on that adjustment. Mm,
that's tough.
Yeah.
Do you pump? I used to pump on the way to work in the car.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea, but I try to pump. I mean, I try to feed her right before I leave.
Yeah.
It's just an adjustment, and every day I have the intention of, like, I'm going to stay up late and pump before going to bed, and nope, I'm, like, out as soon as I get home from work, so.
Well, yeah, if you work that long, geez.
That's hard. It's funny that's your wine, because I was talking with my coworker today, and she waitresses on the weekend, and she was saying that when she's waitressing, she just doesn't have time to pump. Like, she knows that if she needs pump breaks, they're supposed to offer them to her, and they would. She's like, but I just genuinely don't know when I'd have the time. And I was saying how, like, I feel like waitressing and then also nursing or working in the medical field, it would be the same. Like, it's so hard to, you're so busy, and it's hard to even find the time to pump.
Working in healthcare, it's so unpredictable. Like, if you're going to have an admission or something's going to come up where it pushes your pumping time further and further back, and before you know it, you're just, like, hours past.
Yeah. And then you're like, can I please go pump?
Yep. So I'm just trying to manage that and work that into my schedule. So my cheese is, I've been remote teaching my daughter over the past year. And it has been very emotionally tolling on me. It's a lot of work. I have so much respect for teachers, and my daughter going into school this fall, her teacher's getting like a $100 gift card to Target for supplies. Like, anything she wants, she's getting the good paper towels, the good disinfectant wipes. So yeah, it's been a lot. So today, I signed my kids up for summer camp, and I'm so excited that they'll be getting out of the house and getting the social interaction and
getting away from you.
I feel like our time together will be more positive. And
are they excited?
Yeah. That's another thing. They're so excited, and I know they're going to have a great summer, and we'll all be so happy.
That's exciting.
Aw.
That'll be fun. Is it the rec camp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Reed is also doing a soccer camp. Reed's my 4-year-old, so.
Aww. Oh my gosh, that's going to be so cute.
Yeah.
Glad that they can get back to, like, somewhat normal stuff. So, like, to them, it'll be, like, a blip in time. Like, for you, it probably felt like 100 years, but for them, it's right. Gonna be like, oh, whatever, I can go soccer now. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Mandy, do you want to go next?
Sure. So my wine and cheese are kind of connected. So I'll do my cheese first because I really couldn't think of what, or I really had a hard time thinking of cheese this week. But this weekend or this past weekend, we threw, actually Taylor, me, and my sister-in-law threw a little quote-unquote surprise 30th birthday party for Chris's brother, and Taylor's boyfriend, but two out of the three knew about it, so really surprised. But regardless, we threw
a party.
Wait,
who's the one who didn't know?
Bogan.
Oh. Oh, well, hey, at least he got a surprise.
Phil didn't want to be surprised, and I guess Chris was, like, planning to work, and no matter how hard Liv tried to talk him out of it, he was like, I need to work. And so finally she was like, okay, we're throwing you a party, so you can't go to work.
Really,
so but yeah. So anyways, it was really successful. The place that we rented was really cute. It had, like, a golf simulator. I feel like the cake turned out really cute. Actually, one of our former guest hosts, Sahara, yes, made the cake for us.
It was so good. Oh, yeah, that was really
she
cute.
Has
I
a little
saw the picture.
Yeah, she has a little small, like, baking business called For the Love of Cake. Shameless plug there for her. But, yeah, it came out really cute. It was a little golf theme. So, yeah, we had fun. So that was my cheese. And Isla spent the night at my mom's, which is the second time that she's ever spent the night away from us. I was nervous because the last time was Brooke's birthday, which was, like, she was pretty much just about a year old, like, a little bit over. So now she's just, like, a completely different kid. She is more toddlery at this point, and so I wasn't totally sure how she was going to do. And apparently she was, like, a complete rock star. She slept really well. She ate really well. She, of course, my mom, like, spoiled her and, like, took her to go get, to, like, buy toys at Walmart and took her to the playground. And so, of course, she had the time of her life.
Gave her a bag of Halloween candy.
Expired Halloween candy. And no, it was actually, it sounded like she was easier to take care of than Simon, so. But yeah, so that was positive and it was great. And I was like, we were excited to, I mean, granted, I was so freaking tired because that was easily the latest I've been out probably since your birthday, Brooke. I was so tired. And of course I was sober. So I just, like, my feet hurt. And we were hosting, so we couldn't, like, leave. And I mean, it was Phil's birthday, so I wasn't going to pull him away from it. So I had to, like, obviously stay there till the end. And I was just exhausted. It was an hour away from home. By the time we finally got home, I was so tired. I was ready to just pass out and looking forward to, like, sleeping in the next morning without Isla. And it was like a repeat of Megan's bachelorette party, which was basically, I was pregnant with Isla at Megan's bachelorette party. And for some reason, I don't know what, something I ate or drank or whatever, I was up all night with the worst heartburn. I felt I was going to die. And that's exactly what happened. Ugh. I tried to go to sleep and I could not function. The heartburn was so bad. I was up all night. I made myself, like, a bath. I sat in the bath to, like, calm my body down. I was having such bad Braxton Hicks because of it. I was, like, dry heaving all night. Like, oh, it was awful. And so I got zero sleep. I was so tired. And then we, like, woke up and got Isla. So it wasn't even, like, a restful night. It was actually worse sleep than usual. But yeah, I'm sick of being pregnant at the end. I'm over it. I have 6 more weeks. I don't even understand how
that's crazy.
That is crazy. That went by so fast for me. I know for you it probably didn't, but
absolutely not. I can't believe I have 6 more weeks.
I was thinking, only six more weeks.
But no, when I was pregnant, I felt that way. And people were like, oh, it's going by so fast. So I'm like, fuck you, it's going by fast. I've been pregnant for 5 years.
That's what it felt like. It was going by fast, and I was really, like, enjoying it, trying to soak it in the first, you know, 2 trimesters. And now I'm like, oh, I'm so freaking uncomfortable. Let's just get the show on the road. But,
ugh, that sucks. Okay, Brooke, what's your wine and cheese?
So I'll start with my cheese because it's pretty much the same thing as Mandy's. We went out. It was Shay stayed at my mother-in-law's house, and this was the first time that Shay spent the night, because we had her the night of my birthday. We sent her to my mother-in-law's, and this is the first time she spent the night at somebody else's house. The one other time that we spent a night away, she slept here, and we slept somewhere else. So I was very nervous. because she's been so attached to me. I mean, when I left the house and Shane stayed here and Shay cried because Shane didn't come with us. So I was like, oh no, this leaving her at her grandma's house is going to be hard. And then she literally waved to me out the window and was like, bye, Mama. Love you. Love you. Bye. And I was like, hurt a little bit that she didn't cry. And then she, when I went to pick her up the next morning, she cried when we left. So it was, the cheese is that I feel comfortable knowing that she could go somewhere else and be totally fine. And she did wake up at like 5:30 in the morning, but, oh well. Not a big deal. I wasn't up at 5:30.
Not my so grandma's problem. Yeah.
And then I have like 8,000 wines this week. But the biggest one that stands out to me is the other night. I think I've talked about how our dog Batman has a shock collar. So usually when we let him outside, we just let him go and just keep an eye on him. And then we like beep. We don't shock him, but we'll like beep him or use the vibrate when he goes too far. So it was nighttime and I let him out and all of a sudden I hear him like running through the bushes. So I shocked him and I was like, get back, or not shocked him, buzzed him, get back here, get back here. And he came back. And then we came inside and I realized that he had a porcupine quill in his nose.
Aww.
And it was just one. So I was like, okay, we'll be okay. But at the same time, I was panicking a little, like, I want to make sure I do this right. So we called the emergency vet and they were like, we can't give you medical advice. So you either have to bring him in or just pull it out yourself. And I was like, I'm not bringing him in for one porcupine quill. So we like get our pliers. We like research it a bunch. I get ready. We have him like pinned on the couch. Shane has the pliers up against his nose. And then Batman just stood up and it like fell out. So it wasn't even like in his nose, but it was like, of course you had a porcupine quill, but he was fine.
That's stressful.
I've been waiting for the day that it would happen, and I'm just so grateful that it literally was barely even on there. Like, we were freaking out, like, how are we going to do this? And Shane was all, like, ready to pull, and then it just fell out.
Could you imagine if you brought him to the vet?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I would have been so
He, like, walks in, and it falls out on the way in.
That'll be $400.
Yeah.
I'm traumatized with porcupine quills and dogs from, what's it called? Homeward Bound.
Homeward Bound. That's what I was thinking of, too.
Oh. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, so. And then my one other little teeny tiny whine is that Shay is being more aware of, like, pooping and peeing. And the other day, she wanted to use her potty. The past two times, she said that she had pooped. So we had to tell her, like, hold on, we got to take off your diaper and wipe you first. And she took her diaper off mid-kitchen and her poop just fell all over the floor. Which I'm sure we'll have more of, but it was just, like, in the moment, like, fuck no! So, yeah, but that's just two of the lines I had this week. I could continue.
Well, my wine kind of has to do with your Batman wine. Meadow is just being such a dick. Like, she is just like rebelling against us. Like, I think she has just like had enough of Eliza and like had enough of, like, she's been on the mend from getting spayed, and I think she's just been like, I'm so sick of not exercising and blah blah blah, that she's just fucking nuts. Like, every training thing we've done and we're like, oh, she's doing so much better. She's like regressing. And I think it's our fault because she does not get as much attention as she used to, and probably not as much exercise, especially since being sick, and also she still has her stupid ear infection. So she's harder to take care of than Eliza is. And it's just been like one thing after the other. Yesterday she ate, I look over and she's chomping on a bottle, which we must have left somewhere. God. She ate the whole nipple and plastic thing off the bottle, like swallowed it. So I had to give her hydrogen peroxide and go outside with her and wait for her to puke it up.
Ugh.
And she puked it up, like the whole, a nipple hole from a bottle. I don't know. She's been a lot lately, and it's just hard because Eliza's so much easier, and she's supposed to be the difficult one. But
I think that your experience is very common, because the same thing happened. I mean, we still get so annoyed with Batman, and he definitely does not get nearly the same amount of exercise or attention that he used to get.
It's like how I'd have to wake up at like 4 a.m. for her to get what she used to get. And I don't know. But I mean, I guess I can't complain that much, because when it comes to Eliza, like, yeah, I think she might be a little sick of her, but she's so gentle with her, and she's been really, really good, like, when she's near her. But then she just steals everybody's socks and masks. And, oh, my God. It's just a lot. But anyway.
She'll probably start stealing toys and stuffed animals. And
yeah, she's done that a couple times. But, oh, she loves pacifiers. The second a pacifier falls or you walk away from it, she's like, whoop, and then runs away with it. But anyway, so golden doodle for sale. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
You'd make a lot of money.
Yeah, they are. No,
yeah, that's true.
Freaking expensive. Anyway, but my cheese is just a small one. I kind of posted about this on my story week, but I'm being more intentional about reading, because I like to read, and so I've been trying to give myself actual time to do it. And you guys won't be impressed by this, because Taylor's also in our book club. I almost finished the book club book, and book club's not for a couple weeks.
Wow.
And, wow. Usually I show up like half read it. Sorry, guys.
I'm
that's giving yourself credit.
It. Yeah.
I'm on like chapter two, but I do really like it so far.
It is very good. We're reading the, what's called it. The Vanishing
Half. Vanishing Half.
By Britt something.
Bennett? Britt Bennett?
Yes, Britt Bennett. Yep. It's very good. Join our
I
book club.
I should buy that now.
So, without further ado, we are going to talk to Taylor about her exciting birth story. Do you want to tell us like a tiny bit about who you are, Taylor, and then go into your story?
So I have two older kids, a 9-year-old and a 4-year-old, Reed and Sophia. I had pretty easy births with them. Both of them were in a hospital. And I had an epidural with both of them. So it was kind of my dream to one, be able to experience a birth without medication or anything like that, just because I wanted the experience. But I never wanted to follow a strict birth plan, because I know it never happens the way that you plan it out to be, or very rarely. Okay, so with Sophia, I woke up probably around 6 a.m. with contractions, and at that time as a new mom, I didn't really know what to expect, so I called the doctor, and she told me to come in when my contractions became unbearable and I couldn't walk.
No.
So, yeah.
That's descriptive.
So, I would have been they're unbearable right now.
Pretty much. So, I went in when I got to that point, and I had an epidural. They broke my water. I was in labor for a little while, and I ended up pushing for about 20 minutes, and I had a pretty easy birth with her.
How far along were you?
She was 11 days early. And then Reed, my water broke spontaneously. I was laying down, got up from a nap, and my water broke. Remembering the time from Sophia where I labored in the hospital for hours, I decided that I was going to take a shower and kind of mosey around, pack my bags, and then when I got to the hospital, I was about 6 centimeters dilated, ended up having an epidural at 8 centimeters, and I pushed for 7 minutes. But the epidural slowed down my labor so much that's one of the reasons why I wanted to try to avoid it with my third. So anyway, fast forward to February 10th, 2021. So all day I just had a feeling that I was going to go into labor that night.
Oh, wait, sorry. How did you say how early Reed was?
Yeah.
Reed was 13 days early.
Okay. And so February 10th was 10 days early. Okay. So from your due date.
There's a pattern.
Yeah. So I just had a feeling. I knew I was probably going to go early. I had a feeling it was that day. I packed all of our bags. The kids, because they were going to stay with my mom. Ryan and I, our hospital bag and the baby's bag. So that was all squared away.
That's not like you.
I know. So
so prepared.
It's true weird. Intuition there. I was like, there.
Is this how it feels to be prepared?
The only time Taylor's ever been early for anything is for her children.
I mean, if you're going to be ready, like that's
a good thing. Yeah. Thing.
Yeah, so I was probably overpacked, if anything. So that night, I woke up and I just felt weird. Like I had a feeling that I was going to go into labor. So I kind of got up, walked around for a little while. I was having contractions. They weren't close together or super painful. But I woke Ryan up and said, oh, I don't think you're going into work today. And then my 9-year-old peeks her head from outside her bedroom door. And she said, "Whew, it's hot. I slept in my winter jacket. I was ready to go." So she was like fully prepared. She like overheard us talking earlier and she slept in her jacket. Oh,
that's so funny. Like as if she wouldn't have time to wake up and put her jacket on.
I know. That like was the like thing. The priority there.
Wait, did you say what time it was when you woke up?
It was just before 2 a.m. Yeah.
No.
So, yeah,
she was like, ready. I'm ready.
It's funny because I feel like each birth is so different. You just feel like a new mom all over again because it's a completely different situation, completely different scenario, at least for my stories. And so I called the doctor to see when I should come in. And she said to wait until my contractions were 5 minutes apart for an hour, which I feel like is the pretty standard.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Rule of thumb. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to shower. I'm just going to relax. I'm going to do my makeup so I look hot in my hospital pictures. And so in the meantime, Ryan took the kids to my mom's house. Well, in the shower, my contractions got stronger and closer together way faster than I had anticipated. They still weren't at the 5 minutes, every 5 minutes for an hour point yet. But by the time he got back, I was like half wet. My makeup was down my face. I was like on all fours in the hallway. I'm like, we need to go now. So I like hobbled down the stairs. I couldn't even put my own shoes on. He grabbed my boots.
I picture you looking like the girl from The Ring, like your hair like all in your face. And, like...
That is honestly like not far off.
You're in a white nightgown. It's wet.
No, I was actually in climbed maternity out of a well. Jeggings and like a sweater. And so Ryan tried to put my boots on for me, like, and he couldn't zip them up, and I'm like, I don't care. So I, like, walking outside around the car. My boots are flopping everywhere. I barely walk.
What time was this? Like, how much time?
This was probably around, I'd say, just after 3.
That's fast. So, like, that it?
Huh? So, about like, an hour from my first, from when I woke up to now.
Wow.
So we get in the car. And we're on our way. It's a cold February night, so the roads are slick. And my contractions are very strong. And I'm screaming and swearing and holding on to the sunroof and the little handle mm-hmm. on the door. Ryan is just being very patient with me while I'm screaming at the car in front of us, at him, at... all parties involved. I felt so much pressure that I knew that we weren't going to make it. And he kept reassuring me, we're going to make it. You're fine. Like, just breathe. So we get off on the turnpike. And we live about half an hour away from the hospital. So we get on the turnpike. And about 15 minutes away from home, I just have a contraction. And with it, my water broke. And she pretty much came out.
Wow.
With my water. I didn't intentionally push at all. We were a mile onto the turnpike in the fast lane.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, I had to rip down my maternity leggings and guide her out. And Ryan says that he literally looked over and I was holding her.
That's so
wild.
Yeah. In that moment, what, like, was it just like a fight or flight instinct, or did, were you thinking, were you just like there?
Yeah, I did not have time to I wasn't process what was going on in on an emotional level. Mm-hmm. It was, I think, all instinct at that point. And so he pulled over and she wasn't breathing or anything, so he called dispatch while I was trying to get her. I put her under my shirt, got a hat out of the diaper bag, and I was trying to get her to breathe and or cry. Once she started crying, dispatch said that they would call an ambulance and a state trooper, but we figured it would just be easier to get to the hospital. We were about 15 minutes away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we continued our journey down to the hospital, and we had an ER doctor waiting at the entrance, and it was actually the hospital I work at, so I don't know how many of my coworkers saw my butt. Not that I care, but I just, like, I had my pants down. Like,
yeah, were they just, like, at your ankles looking, and you, like, just got out of the car?
Yeah, I just, like, transferred into a wheelchair, and honestly don't remember a lot just because I think that I was just
instincts
in shock. Yeah.
Yeah, the adrenaline and all of that.
Yeah. Once I had time to, like, process what had happened, I actually went back and looked at, like, involuntary pushing. And it's called the fetal ejection reflex. And I guess it only happens, it's pretty rare, but it only happens under the right circumstances. Like, if it's dark and calm. And
going 65 miles an hour on the highway.
Yeah. Yeah. But not a bunch of extra, like, an audience. So it was definitely an amazing experience. One of my easiest births, believe it or not. I didn't have any tearing.
We just woke up to, because Taylor's a good friend of ours, and so is Ryan. He's, like, one of Phil's best friends, too. And so I woke up to Phil, like, shaking me and showing me a Snapchat of Taylor sitting in the passenger seat holding a baby. And, of course, I just, like, I was waking up. It was, like, 4 a.m, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And then finally it, like, dawned on me, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, holy shit. And my immediate thought was, Taylor has got to be traumatized. Yeah. How is she ever going to mentally recover from this? She's never going to want to get on the highway again. Like, how is she going? And then I talked to you and you're like, that was the most peaceful, wonderful birth I ever experienced.
It was just so intimate. And I feel like I really got that, like, uninterrupted time with her.
That's right.
After the birth. So I recommend it.
10 out of 10 recommend.
Yeah, I also remember, because I didn't get the Snapchat, but our group text, I just got, guys, Taylor had a had Amelia in the car. And I was just like, I had the same thought too. I'm like, is Taylor okay? Like, I just, I don't know. And maybe it's just because, I don't know. Do you think it would have been different if it was, like, if you were a first-time mom? Obvious. I mean, I feel like that might be obvious, but
I honestly think so. I think that,
like, even when you said you went and grabbed a hat, I don't think I would have thought of
that. No way.
Like, I don't think I would have had those initial, like, okay, I'm going to put her under my shirt. I'm going to put a hat. Like, I don't know. Maybe that was just, like, your immediate fight or flight, like, instinctual reaction. But those two things didn't even come to my mind. I don't know if I'd react that way, especially as a first-time mom.
I feel like you would be surprised at how instinctual we probably are in those moments.
I think so. And I think that this whole birth experience for me has really opened my eyes to how natural the birthing process really is and how clinical it's made in like today's society.
I don't know. I feel like there's so much fear around like having, well, especially a birth in the car, but like a birth outside of a hospital in itself is like scary, at least to me. So it's nice to have a friend
that who went through,
went through that and everything was okay. And that's like pretty normal for it to be okay.
I think it also shows that like we were talking a lot about instincts, but I also think it shows that moms, when you strip away all this other crap that we have to deal with, like, we do have an instinct, and we know what we're doing, and we need to just trust ourselves a little bit more.
Definitely. I completely agree with that.
I know.
So you went, you had to go and deliver your placenta still at the hospital, right?
Right.
Did you end up having to stay at the hospital, or, and also, I really need to know, did they charge you?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Good question.
So, yeah, so once I got up to the birthing floor, they delivered the placenta and the cord was cut and everything. And I honestly, my bill seems a lot less expensive than my last birth. I really want to call and get a breakdown of it because I want to see what exactly I was charged for. I did have to stay that night. But that was only because they had to do the 24-hour labs on Amelia. So I don't think they would have kept me if it hadn't been for that. But
how much did it cost to clean your car?
So thankfully, well, Ryan had the car for about a month when this happened. So he had some nice WeatherTech mats. And I guess some fluid just pooled on the mat, so that was easy to clean up. And the nurses had given him some like disinfectant wipes and some bags to go clean his car because being the middle of February, it would have frozen to the seat.
Oh my god.
So that wouldn't have been fun to return to the next day. So he said it was a pretty easy cleanup.
Oh my god.
So you took that same car home, right? Was it weird to be like
back in there?
Back in that spot?
Yeah, it was weird. And the car will always have an important part in our lives. I don't know how we're ever going to get rid of
it. Yeah.
It could be Amelia's first car.
I was born in that passenger seat. Do you know like what mile marker you were at? Do you know like what time she was born? Like, did you look at the clock?
So we had to determine the time of birth by looking at the call log when he called dispatch.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
So he's like, yeah, I called like basically
right away
when you gave birth.
Yeah.
So we used that time. They used our home address on the birth certificate because I guess it was considered a home birth.
Right. You're like, not by choice.
Does it say like the attending doctor like on the birth certificates?
I don't think that it had it on hers. Okay. I'd have to double check.
But, I don't remember.
I don't think so.
You just have your name?
I think it's just like your names and like place of birth.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So she was born at mile marker 18.
Aww.
Well, every year she'd like go have her birthday, but like blow out some candles on the side of the highway.
Yeah.
Aww.
That would be cute.
That'd be something.
Oh, that's just insane. I feel like I'm traumatized for you. You're like, it was great. I'm
like, you're like, it was beautiful. I'm like,
yeah.
Over
well,
here.
I feel like all of our first thoughts were, of course, Taylor. But my second thought was, how is Ryan? Like, he had to be driving and then he had to watch that happen. And like, how did he deal with it?
Honestly, he was like so calm and collected through the whole thing. I've tried to get it out of him just how scared he really was because he always plays it off like it was fine, but I know he was really terrified. But he's really good under pressure, and he called the police. He had the thought process to ask dispatch to call the hospital to notify them we were coming. I'm like, I would have never thought of that, but that was good.
But I was going to say, at some level, he must have been working off of just purely instinct, too. So it must have been cool for you guys to see that together when it comes down to it. You got it?
I think so. And it's just so, like, magical to think about, like, no one else knows what happened in that car.
Yeah.
But us, like, at that time. Yeah.
What an intimate thing.
Really, special to have that moment together. Yeah.
How do you feel like your recovery was any different with this birth compared to the other two?
Honestly, I think that they say that with every like subsequent pregnancy after the first one, your contractions get worse after the actual birth, like during breastfeeding. So I think that I had, that was like the most painful aspect of the birth for me, the birth process. But as far as healing, I think that this one was faster because I didn't have any tears. And I don't know if that was because my body was just so ready or if I didn't have an epidural, so I didn't push too hard and I kind of let my body.
Or you didn't push, period.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
Did you feel like the ring of fire?
No, I did not. I didn't feel anything. I just felt her coming out.
Oh, that's so crazy.
And I had to pull down my pants and just kind of guided her out.
I wonder if it was just like the adrenaline or really that's it was just because like the reflex or what? That's crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah, because I feel like when you're birthing at a hospital, even if you go unmedicated, I feel like there's just so much awareness brought to like, okay, now push and do this and that. And we're like, you just literally were thriving off of adrenaline. So I bet that's part of the reason why it didn't, you know, I can't imagine that you did, there was no ring of fire. Like,
no, I didn't. Like, to my knowledge, I didn't feel really any pain when she came out. It was more of like relief that I wasn't having the contractions anymore.
Wow.
Wow.
Would you say that your contractions were worse than your first two before you got the epidural?
No. They weren't any worse.
So, like, you didn't even, like, because, you know, you go through transition before you get to the point of pushing, which you probably didn't actually even get to feel the first two times because you had the epidural. Like, I didn't really feel the pain of transition. But you went through it, and it still wasn't even as painful. That's so crazy.
Yeah. I don't know how to explain it. It'd be interesting to see, like, what actually happened, though.
I will say that I am terrified of giving birth to this baby in a car on the way to the hospital.
Are you going to go to the hospital after your first contraction?
Probably. Well, because you said you kind of took your time when you went into labor with Reed, and then you got to the hospital and you were like 6 centimeters. And like, that's, I mean, basically what happened to me. So now, like,
that's a good point.
Hopefully our babysitter comes really fast and can get there. But, I mean, it sounds like a beautiful experience. Yeah. So maybe I should write this in my birth plan instead.
You're like in the parking 18. Lot of the hospital, like, no, I'd like to do it here.
Doing, like, circles around the parking lot.
Phil's just driving.
It was really only scary to think about, like, after the fact, how many things could have gone wrong.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Reed needed oxygen after he was born. So, like, even something as small as that could have been
totally different story.
Really sad story. Yeah.
So what was the total time from, like, start to her birth? Yeah.
So I had my first – I woke up just before 2 o'clock, and she was born at, I think, 3:43. Was the final time.
So not even 2 hours. That's so crazy.
Wow. It's something that would happen like on a movie, but then we know someone in like real life who went through it and went through it gracefully.
I know. When I returned to work, I probably had to tell the story like 30 times in my first weekend back. When we met with the pediatrician, after Amelia was born and he was doing his examination and everything, he was like, wow, she was born in the car? That was my biggest fear. I have an 18-month-old. And I'm like, that was your biggest fear? I feel like you'd be more qualified than most people.
I think everybody has, like, a level of fear of, like, my biggest fear was, like, my water breaking in the classroom in front of everyone. And then it being, like, a speedy process. So I think everyone has, like, a little, like, oh, gosh, what if my timing doesn't work or whatever.
It's just so scary not having, like, complete control over a situation. Right. I think there's always fear around that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you were to ever have another baby, would you do a home birth?
Jeez.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Just set up at home and then you don't have to worry.
It might turn into one involuntarily.
That's true.
Yeah.
That'd definitely be something to look into. I wouldn't be opposed to it. It'd be a little more reassuring to have everything
ready to go.
Yeah, that's true too.
Either that or get a hotel across from the hospital.
About 2 weeks before your due date.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true too. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing your crazy, incredible story with us and being on with us today. I'm sure people are going to love hearing this one because we just all love hearing birth stories. And like we always say, every birth story is different, even though you're like doing the same thing. Even you said, yeah, every kid is different. So I think that's the cool part about telling birth stories. So we're excited that you came on to talk to us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Do you want to give people your Instagram, where to find you?
I don't even know what my Instagram handle is.
It's Taylor R. L. White.
So that's where you find her. If you want to follow Taylor, you can follow her at Taylor R. L. White on Instagram. And if you want to follow us, we're at moms.after.bedtime. And you better rate, review, subscribe, and tell all your friends.
Or else.
We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.